from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It's a short unit, so you only have to think for a couple of minutes here. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord.
So over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at a variety of parables. And we're calling them family stories because, other than the audience that Jesus spoke to originally, the first people who are reading these is the church, believers a generation later who hear the scriptures read, or people are telling the stories. And so in that case, then, the stories come to the church. So the parables are not just for the immediate listeners, they are also for us. We need to hear the stories. And so we've been going through a variety of stories, and here we have a short parable which begins with a setup verse. As Beth read, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. So we might think about that. Well, all right, wow. Who is Jesus speaking to? Like, who would those people be that would consider themselves justified in looking down on others? So it asks us to ask the question, how do we see ourselves? And of course, one of the issues that jumps out of us at this text is the Pharisee's comparison, that he's quick to compare himself with this individual standing over there by the wall, let's say, who's a publican, tax collector. He says, "Man, I'm a lot better than that person. In fact, I thank God, thank you, God, that I'm not like that person." So we hear those words. Those are pretty stunning, right? We wonder, like, who would actually say that? But that's what the individual's saying. So, and we certainly compare ourselves with others all the time. It's not something that only this Pharisee did. Who is righteous? Who is not righteous? That's what this parable's about. And I think as we live our lives and our days, you know, we have those questions. Who is righteous? Who is not righteous? Who's hurting? Who's okay? It was interesting, last night, Beth and I went to hear a group called the Bahamas. And we went because one of these singers, the lead singer, apart from the guy, is Felicity Williams, who grew up in this church. And so we went because we had some tickets to go hear Bahamas and Felicity. But while we're waiting at Danforth in Broadview to go in the Danforth Music Hall, Beth and I just basically get there, and a woman appears out of nowhere. Wow! And she's wrapped in a blanket. And she says, I mean, it really was quite powerful. And she had need. So she just, like, appeared. It's dark, right? Just like, boom. And she says, "I'm cold." And so And I think I said, "Wow, what do you want, sweetie?" That's what I said. I said, "Like, what's going on?" And she says, "I'm cold." So, you know, we scramble and we, you know, assist in the way that we are able to at that point. But, you know, as that happened, there's the lineup going over here, the lineup going in, and I could see everybody. Everybody sees this because it just happens so abruptly. And people are looking, wondering what's going to happen here. And it was a startling occasion. And, you know, and we evaluate and we make the choices and we make evaluations and we start wondering, well, who is this person and what's their need and what's their situation? And people in the line might be thinking like, wow, how's this going to go down? Or I'm glad I have a nice warm jacket on. I'm not just got a light blanket around me. It was just a startling experience, which I think causes us to evaluate and reflect on everybody. That's how I saw it going down. That was our experience. How do we look at ourselves before God? So the two people are there, right? But the question is how is God seeing this whole scene? How does God view that event? How does God view them? How does God view us? So we have that beginning verse, parable set up that way, and then we have the short parable. So we see two men, in this situation they are men, two men go to the temple to pray. Pharisee and a tax collector or a toll collector. Note, they both go to the house of prayer. Both of them are there, right? They go with their own reasons. Why? We don't know, but they're there at the temple. And they're both praying to God. There's a similarity and there's a contrast. So they both go. I mean, they in some way they want to meet with God or they wouldn't be there. Why are they there? They go. And the temple then becomes a bit of a metaphor of contrast. And a lot of these parables are asking the question, who's an insider and who's an outsider? Who's an insider in terms of faith? Who is outside? This writer says the temple is the map, the metaphor that stands for the insiders and outsiders. It surely was, because in the temple, there were certain places that you could go into, and if you didn't meet the certain standards, you couldn't go beyond it. It was definitely a group where you could go and you couldn't go. Insiders, outside. Since this is a parable of contrast, the temple will map out the contrast. The contrast form does not decide in advance whether the first or second one will be favored, although the temple map surely favors the Pharisee. People, when they're hearing this, they're thinking, well, he's the insider and the other guy's the outsider. Surely the tax collector's the outsider. That's what they'd be thinking. So the Pharisee is a model citizen. He's respected, really respected, a pious individual. Fasts twice a week. It's a lot. Some of you fast, I know that. Fasting twice a week, that's a bit. And the person also tithes. He gives 10% of all that he has. Remember years ago, I was in Jerusalem, and I was leading a bunch of students from Tyndale to a three-week trip there where they studied the history and geography of Israel. And there was, in the Jewish quarter, there's four different quarters in Jerusalem, the Old City one, the Jewish quarter. There was a bookshop run by two brothers, and they called themselves Pharisees with pride. We are Pharisees. This is our bookshop. And we try to follow God's law in everything we do. And he loved it when Christians would come and he would try to get in an argument with you or a discussion. Because he loved that. I mean, that was just like lots of fun for him, all right? Come in and I'm going to argue with you, debate with you. It's kind of curious. And boy, he knew a lot. I didn't want to debate with him. I just wanted to look by for book, right? I mean, sorry, man, cool. I'm glad, happy for you. I want a book and leave, all right? But he wanted to debate. Pharisees, pious individual. The community saw Pharisees. They respected them. They went around with long robes. Man, they weren't just a commoner. They were special people. So we have to kind of see that. Interesting, though, as we move on, he sees his goodness as he compares himself with others. Comparison is that sneaky little thing, you know, that brings us down. It was Teresa of Avila said that comparison is the death of the spiritual life. We don't want to go there. Teresa ran a convent with lots and lots of nuns, and she recognized that one of the biggest trip-ups was when the nuns started comparing with each other. Oh, I wish I was like that person. She has such highs when she goes and prays. It's so amazing. I want that. Sense of competition. And so the Pharisees looking down, and we evaluate ourselves. Pride rises up in that sense, rises in the opposite direction. How does pride mess us up? In Dante's Inferno, there's the descent into hell, and the sins are getting graver and graver as you go down into hell. And you know what's right at the bottom? Pride. Pride, Dante says, is a real problem. It's fiction, right? But that's what he's arguing. So the Pharisee, that's the one that we start with. Then there's the tax collector. Tax collector is seen as the enemy of the people. So the Pharisee is seen as the great person, comes with all his robes, wonderful person. The tax collector is a scoundrel. The tax collector was seen as somebody who sided with the Romans, who sided with the oppressors, was taking advantage of all the people. There was a tax the Romans would charge, and then they would charge an extra tax for themselves. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus is a tax collector. For him, it works out. He repents. He comes to God. So there's this real contrast, and we have to struggle to see that in our own day. I don't know. Who would be the Pharisees today? Who would be the tax collectors? Sherry Lynn, who's a Pharisee today? Sorry? Revenue Canada. All right. There's a Pharisee if I've ever heard one. Well done. Who's the tax collector? Revenue Canada as well. All right. I don't know, right? But we have to determine who are these people today for this story to resonate. Pharisees, tax collectors. Tax collectors cheating others, right? And everybody knows. But they're protected by the Romans, so what are you going to do? The publican prays. He calls out to God. Note, no comparison. He actually looks down. He won't even raise his eyes to heaven, but in a sense, metaphorically, he's looking up. He's looking to God, and his only prayer is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God's reckless love. God's love. His crazy love. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wow. I remember reading, I think I've told this story before, but Lewis Smead writes, professor out at Fuller Seminary, now passed away, but he went and visited an older lady. And the older lady is dying. And her comments to Lewis were, Lewis, I've sinned so much. My whole life, I've sinned. And Lewis is looking at this woman, and he's like, how? What do you mean you sinned? I know you to be a dear woman. In her heart, she's saying, no. You don't know me. I've sinned. Such sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say that story because that's us. That's you. That's me. Me for sure. He looks up. No comparison. He just looks to God. I wonder why the tax collector does that. What's going on in his life that day that he goes to the temple and prays that prayer? He knows he's a scoundrel. He knows himself. I know himself. What's happening? That day he cries out to God in that way. What happens in our lives when we cry out to God? You know, oftentimes we have to go through a lot of crap. We have to really mess up. Something really crisis almost has to happen for us to cry out to God in that way. Help me, help me, help me. Help me, God. That's his prayer. So you see, that's the contrast. But the kicker is we finally have the closing commentary, and this is what Jesus says. I tell you, this man, meaning the tax collector, went down to his home justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. That's Jesus' statement of explanation of how this parable works. The beginning, the setup verse in this verse, talks about justified. It talks about being made righteous. Who is righteous? Who is accepted? Who knows God? And the shocking statement in this Pharisee is that, in this parable, is that it's the tax collector. The tax collector is the one who knows God's grace and mercy in this situation, because he honestly, vulnerably looks up to God and cries out in his situation, in his state, this is me, and I have all these needs. He's not just putting on a facade, even though he's a good person. Everybody would say he's a good person. So you see, it turns it up. There's this reversal that's going on here. That's the shocking dimension of it. It would have blown the audience away originally. I don't know, for us, that we're a long way away from it. We can hear it and not be moved. Oh, how do we need God's grace, huh? Jesus says humility. I appreciate the tax collector's humility. How is this seen from God? What's God's viewpoint? And this guy over here is exalting himself and saying he's so wonderful. I go for this guy more. I appreciate all he does. Fasting twice a week is cool. Giving money is great, beautiful. But the heart, he says, I like it over here. So not to look down on others, but to look up. You know, this is where Jesus is going with the parable. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. It's the same word that's used here. In heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Humble, humility. Mary's song, Magnificat. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. That beautiful Magnificat we will be singing in not that long, coming into December. Magnificat, Advent, God coming down to us in Christ, speaks about the surprise of grace. That's what we're calling this talk, the surprise of grace. The point, I'm saying, is not to leave thanking God that we are not as the Pharisee. See, if we do that, we've missed it. Man, I am really happy that I'm not like that Pharisee. That's not the point. But to open our hearts to the love and grace of God, the Pharisee and the publican within each of us. Pharisee in me, publican in me. I need to hear both. And most likely there's a Pharisee in you somewhere too, and maybe even a bit of a tax collector. So how do we hear God's word? How do we hear his love? Become like Christ more and more. That's humility. The meekness of Christ. To know God's Christ. God's love in Christ. Dorothy Day used to talk about now is the great beginning. Now is the great beginning. To know God's love. You know, at this concert last night, the lead singer for the Bahamas, what's his name? Afy. Who? Afy. All right. Afy. Afy told a little story in the midst of his concert. And he says, you know, just out of nowhere, he says, you know, I was raised by a single mom. And my dad split. And we had a tough time. And you know what? I acted out. I did a lot of acting out. He says, it's worked out okay. He's maybe 37 to 38 now. He says, it's okay, it's okay. But I did a lot of acting out. And when I thought about it, I wrote this song. And the song's title is, Bad People Need Love Too. Bad people need love too. He says, I look at myself, I was bad. He didn't go on and develop that. But bad people need love too. Who's a bad person in this story? The tax collector, man. He's there at the wall because he knows he's bad. But he's crying out for love. Crying out for God's presence, God's mercy. Bad people need love too. We all need more love than we deserve. All of us. All of us. And so the story is meant to be a bit of a wake-up call. Hey, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to you? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn and sing as we move towards communion, number 213. Beth chose this hymn, and it's a lovely hymn. Let us break bread together on our knees. But it also connects well with what we're doing here because of how the refrain ends. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's our cry. Have mercy on me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.